Hey, good night, good night, good night, everyone.
Hi, hi, hi.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. Welcome to Let's Talk Relationships on You, Me Radio.
Get my screen right.
How are you doing tonight, Lady Misty?
I'm good. How are you?
I am DJ KTE.
And this is your girl, Lady Misty.
There you go. And tonight, we'll be joined by Reverend Dr. Dunbar, our Power in Relationships segment, and Dr. Candace Drummond for our Life Moment section. And we're looking to have a fantastic time tonight.
That's right.
We had a great time last week, and just want to keep it going, right?
That's it. Yeah. Before we go any further, we want to shout out those who will be joining us via YouTube tonight. So all our YouTube viewers, shout out to you. You are free to join us over there on YouTube.
If you make it happen.
If you can't, by any chance, please listen to us on UMe Radio. We are right here every Monday night at 9.
Yes.
Yes, we want to say also a special thank you to our sponsors. Sponsors, without you, we have no show. So we want to say a special thanks to UMe Digital Inc. And you can check them out at umedigitalinc.com.
Hey, listen, Misty, websites, they do, right? They do websites, they do podcasts, they really get you going. They have some great programs there as well and great products. Yes.
Yes. I also want you guys to check out Coach Raquel. I know she's empowering us on My Coach Ministry. So check her out and check out her courses on Udemy. So you go to mycoachministry.com.
Yes. And firsthand experience. I had experience of that powerful program. Mm-hmm. I must let you know, guys, incredible, incredible stuff.
Yes. Also, you go to accessbusinessretreat.com. I don't know what's wrong with my tongue tonight. I'm getting all tongue-tied.
maybe it's my red shirt causing it. My red shirt.
I know. And you're coordinating tonight. Yes.
So they're trying to get it coordinated. Yeah, that's what we're trying to do here. All right.
Right. So, okay, let's try that again. Accessbusinessretreat.com. I got it out. All right. An empowerment tool to help business pros build their ministry.
Oh, yeah. You got to check that out.
Shopandown.com. And Shop and Travel is a Shop and Own. That's with an N. So it's not A-N-D, guys. It's Shop and... Oh, you know, you have to put a little swang, that's a little slang on it, right?
So swang in there, right? One end in the middle.
So Shop and Travel Business is one of the one-stop shop brand builders and influencers seeking to own the brand they're building while securing the right partnership and collaborators to monetize their work. So thank you to our sponsors tonight. You're doing such an awesome job.
Yes.
All right, so we're moving into hot topics. So what do we have tonight, Keith?
Well, we'll now hear a part of a conversation from a YouTube Vox Pop. And here it is. This is the question. Do you believe Black is king, and what does that mean to you? So we're going to take a look, and we're going to take it from there and turn up the heat on that.
That's right.
Turn it up, turn it up, turn it up, turn it up, turn it up.
Topic of discussion since Beyoncé's Black is King, the highly anticipated visual album, has been a hot topic of discussion since its release. The film loosely follows the story of The Lion King and is set to the soundtrack of the 2019 remake of the movie. Black is King featured cinematic visuals, choreography, as well as the work of African artists like Tiwa Savage and Burna Boy. Naturally, after it dropped, people were excited. But as with many things on the internet, not everyone agreed. In fact, when the trailer dropped at the end of June, it was met with a lot of debate on Twitter. And when I say a lot, I really... really mean a lot. Some people loved the piece and felt it gave a great representation of the cultures and countries in Africa and the diaspora.
It very much seems like a whole collation of beautiful different visuals from different places. It was like the Black experience, so not necessarily focused on Africans, but focused on all Black people.
Others felt like it could have been better.
I thought it was very well done. I think that Beyoncé did do her research. At the same time, I just think that, you know, the thing that made me sad is that I didn't see East Africans being represented.
The debate about Black is King has brought up some important questions about the representation of Africa in film and television. These conversations are not new. In fact, from around the 19th century, there were numerous encounters, cultural exchange, as well as moments of solidarity between Africa and the diaspora. The big question here is a film like Black is King an appropriate modern example of pushing these conversations and exchanges forward?
It's a very touchy and very sensitive issue to talk about what is the relation between Africans and African Americans or the diaspora in general. Sometimes, you know, people don't want to get their hands burned by touching on that issue. But for me, I'm more, you know, interested in the conversation, how this particular production forces Africa and the diaspora to have a dialogue.
Some of the critiques of Black is King have been met with a lot of backlash online.
Stan culture can be very toxic because these stans tend to think that just because someone is critiquing the artist, they are attacking the artist. When I watched Black is King, I also thought it was an excellent piece of work, but you know, it doesn't mean that we can't have these conversations. I think it was still kind of, you know, not telling the whole story in the sense of like it was only talking about a certain percentage of Africans who are royalty and whatever, and you know, that's cool, but it makes like other people who are non-African think that that's all pre-colonial Africa was.
Beyoncé was the writer, director, and executive producer of Black is King, but the film also included the work of other Black creatives. So what does this mean for the future of African creatives in film?
It was really lovely seeing the different creative people as well in there, because it shows that, you know, everyone's part of the bigger picture. Everyone wants to see this bigger picture. Everyone's trying to progress their craft.
With films like Black Panther coming out a few years ago and receiving great reviews, as well as series like Queen Sono and Blood and Water, now seems like an important time for the visibility of Black creators, both in front and behind the camera.
In my own opinion, we are in the midst of Black Renaissance. We have more Black recognized and established and celebrated filmmakers right now than we may have in the past.
There's so many countries in Africa, so many different dialects, tribes, regions, etc. People do so many different things. I think this is now a great time to be able to really push out the products that we have.
Yes, 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 Lady Misty.
All right.
That's quite a bit there, right? Don't you think?
Yeah, Black is King.
So we have a very interesting production by someone who a lot of people know, Beyoncé. You know, she's a well-known name.
Yes.
Extremely influential on the culture and cultures across the world. Mm-hmm. And so looking at this particular segment here, it has become a highlight and somewhat of a controversy in aspect of the world as to what she did. Mm-hmm.
Right.
So,
personally, first of all, I have to congratulate Beyoncé, because being a person of influence and being a celebrity and being a woman of color, I have to congratulate her on, you know, using her platform to highlight Black people, specifically Africans, because, you know, that's the Black base,
yeah,
basically.
They said the motherland, right? The original.
Right, the motherland. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right. So, you know, all in all, I was listening to the comments, and I really agree with some. I don't necessarily agree with others. There was a young lady that was saying that she doesn't really see Blacks being represented as well in the production. I tend to disagree with that, because based on what I've seen so far, I think Beyoncé did a really, really good job in doing her best to represent not only the country, but the culture in a very, very specific and targeted way. So yes, I think she did a good job.
I agree with you on that, Lady Misty, because, you know, you look at Blacks now, right? Especially here in the Western culture, in the Western world.
Yes.
You look at the hair, the makeups, you know, the extra stuff, layers and wigs and weaves, and nothing is wrong with those things.
Right. But
it is nice and refreshing for me to see how she went back to the actual culture. You know,
bringing out the authenticity.
It wasn't whether they had kinky hair, so to speak, and whether it was, you know, it was thick or thin, long or short. It was good to see that naturalness, right? Because too often we feel that Black, we have to enhance ourselves before we can compete with the whites or whoever else we're competing with. We have to do something to ourselves and, you know, not look our natural selves. And we understand that. But if you think about what she did, I think it's groundbreaking, because we're not just tokens here to add to the rest of the world. We really are kings. We really are and we ought to know that. We ought to know that, right?
We ought to know that. And it's good for her to highlight that, you know, the Black community is powerful, you know, so we just need to own it.
Yes. And
to own that.
And the thing is that I'm hoping will happen. Because, Blacks have been divided in many ways for too long. You have the Black Americans and the Black Africans. But if you think about it, we're all Blacks, you know?
We're all Black.
We're divided somewhat by culture and that's the way we are trained to think. But if you kind of peel some of the stuff away and go back, you find that we really have the same, we have from the same roots pretty much. And there's a commonality that we have to share. And if we just look beyond those things and find that we are more closer and have more commonality than we think. We can really become together and form a strong bond, you know, whether you're from East, West, North, or South. So I think it was nice to see that kind of production.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, we do want to thank BBC, because that clip was courtesy of BBC. So we want to thank them for highlighting that. And we agree here that Black is definitely king.
Oh yeah.
Yes. And I'm hoping for the day when we own that and we live up to that kind of a strength.
Yes.
Yes.
Sometimes it make you wonder why we are hated. You know, what's going on there? What's really happened when they see you? Sometimes, you know, it's like you know, when light sometimes come about and someone has darkness, sometimes it can be a little intimidating. So sometimes they reflect that what they feel inside on you. It really is about them, you know. But I'm really intrigued by what we've seen. And it's not necessarily a Christian or church thing, so to speak, because the real thing is that people are waking up to a consciousness. I think now more than ever that there's a shifting going on, and I must grab a hold of this, you know, and maximize it. So,
And I think that the Black community needs to take this opportunity, in this space, because there's an opening for us to have a greater voice.
Yes.
There's an opening for us to be, a little bit stronger and way more united than we are now. So I think that we need to do our best to make use of the opportunity that we have.
Yes, and you know what? If you look at a lot of what happened with Blacks over the year, Lady Misty, a lot of the shows, they're very negative. You know, they paint Blacks very negatively. A lot of the music, very negatively, and so it's good to see that, you know, in this production, which is a huge production. It's like not like a 5-minute video. This is, I think, 90 minutes. So yeah. This is really intense. So it's looking really looking at Africa, but different segments of Africa that has major cultural strong roots foundation, and you're showing the natural part of who they are, you know, and you see the how we are multifaceted, how we are so diverse. Mm-hmm. Yes, still you can see the strong central cord, that blackness that, you know, I say that, you know, whenever someone closes their eyes, what do you see? But black. That's my little joke.
Kudos to Beyonce. So we're moving right into our next segment. We call this segment Power in Relationships. And tonight we have a beautiful, strong Black woman in the house tonight. All right. And we are continuing on our bedroom brand. And she'll be talking to us about her book called Sexcription.
Uh-oh, talk about hot. Wait a minute. Where the song? Feeling hot. Okay, let me. All right.
Yes, so tonight's special guest is the Reverend Dr. Carla Dunbar.
All right.
And she'll be talking to us tonight. She is certified as a sex therapist. She's a marriage officer. She's a media presenter. She's an author, of course, because we'll be talking to her about her book tonight. And she's a life coach. And we are so blessed and honored to have her on tonight. While she comes on, I just want to talk to our viewers and our listeners that if you have any questions or any with us, however, if you're listening to us on Yumi Radio, please, I'm asking you to WhatsApp your questions or comments to the following number, 201-503-6731. Let me repeat that for you. It's 201-503-6731. Now, last week we started on bedroom branding, and tonight is part two. So, what is your bedroom brand? And I know Dr. Dunbar has some exciting things to tell us tonight.
I believe so too.
Yes. So we are waiting for her to come on.
So in the meantime,
hi,
guys.
Good night.
There we go.
Good night.
Good night, Doctor.
How are you?
Wonderful. If you can just kind of make sure you get your screen a little situated so we can see your entire face. If it's okay, you can go either, but just that we've seen a part of your head, but not your full face. That's why. So it's your choice tonight. Who do you want to be visible or not?
I wasn't aware of the seeing aspect of things, so I did not set my thing on video until I was asked just now. However,
yes,
I can do that.
Your choice.
Okay.
Yes. All right. Okay. Can you hear us? Okay.
I'm hearing you quite fine.
Fantastic. Oh, the hair looks lovely. Look at the hair. Wow. Nice. I love that. That's a nice look there, doctor. All right now.
Thank you.
All right. Well, yeah. We're happy to have you.
I said I was aware that I was going on FaceTal. So I was just prepared to talk. But I'm happy to be on your program tonight. And to be able to share from my experience, of course,
yes,
and expertise on the matter. And as you rightly said just now, my book, which is on Amazon, which can be found on Amazon, is called Sexcription. It is a prescription for sex.
Yes.
And it was written from a Caribbean context, of course, being a yes, pastor in the church and seeing the lack of a representation of God's intent mm-hmm. for sex, so to speak. Right, that's the book. Right.
Nice.
So yes, Tina, there there's a lack. There's much taboo on the matter, especially in Christendom. And I believe the Lord would have me to speak more expressly on the matter of sex and his intent for it and the benefit too of sex within the relationship. Note that for me, I only record sex within the context of my thoughts.
All right. Good night, Doc. I noticed that we're all in red tonight.
Yes.
Is it because we are talking about hot things?
Yes, you know, it must be that.
It just
I think,
seems that way, right?
Yes, you know?
I know, right?
Feeling hot, three reds. I like that.
It was
that,
not even planned.
It definitely works.
It wasn't even planned, but there you have it.
Yes.
It fits
perfectly.
That's it.
Right.
Perfectly. I heard right. you talking about taboo in, you know, in Christendom and in the faith-based community. So is that what really right. sparked your interest in this particular area of ministry?
I think more so because when I started out to obtain a first degree, it had nothing at all to do with this matter. I started out just
right.
wanting to be equipped as a counselor, and I was already a pastor, so mm-hmm. I chose a theological foundation for that. But then being
okay.
on the campus and coming from the world, because I was coming from the world with
right.
knowledge of sex and have been exposed, right? Mm-hmm. I've been living on my ears for a number of years. I had a partner and then got married. And then I went into the Christian community and nobody was saying anything. And I was intrigued, but I was also disturbed. Yeah.
Understood.
Yeah. And so I sought to magnify the situation. So whenever I was given a paper to write, I ensure that it has some component of sex. So mm-hmm. so they gave me a theology of the Caribbean to write. I wrote a theology of sex for the Caribbean. So
wow.
I just continued to do that until my lecturers ignored me no longer. And then
wow.
they encouraged me to now do my final paper on looking
oh.
at the attitude and perception of Christians
yes.
towards sex as worship, as I believe it to be. So that's
yes.
what that's the initiation of it. And then I went on because I now saw the necessity
mm-hmm.
being in Christendom, that campus where you have persons from different walks of life and the gap needed to be filled. Because of what I understood to be problematic areas within Christendom. And then if it is not addressed, it is going to continue to be an era
true.
Of problem.
Let me quickly say,
Doctor,
let me quickly say, just want to thank those for joining. I think I see Pastor.
Pastor
Reverend,
Daly.
Reverend Daly, thank you for joining us.
Yes.
And I believe someone else, but continue, please, Dr. Dunbar.
Right. So that was where my interest mm-hmm. came from initially. And then as I saw the need, you know, more and more on a national level and then on an international level, I realized that it was not just a Jamaican thing.
Mm-hmm.
And
yes.
then it was not just a Caribbean thing, but then
yes.
it became like a universal thing within the faith-based community.
Yes.
Hence, I sought to see how best, you know, the matter can be dealt with so that the church can be edified and empowered. Because as the Lord said to the prophet Hosea, my people suffer because of a lack of knowledge. And we often blame other entities and things for the destruction of our marriages and our relationship when it is really us not having the prerequisite knowledge to make the application.
Wow. You know, it's funny because at one point I thought that when the Bible said lack of knowledge, I thought it was just the word, you know, the word, not knowing the word. But it's knowledge in any area. It's any area of your life.
It's not knowing the word.
Yes, exactly.
It's not knowing the word about sex.
Exactly. There you go. That's where I was going with it. Exactly.
God says in Peter that he gives us everything that we need for life and godliness.
There you go.
And if sex is to be a part of the marriage relationship, then we need to have knowledge about it. But I realized that even in premarital counseling, you had pastors who were counseling persons for marriage, preparing them, but not adequately preparing them for sex. So it's just like what you know, what you don't know, you catch. And
you know,
then you find that persons and their relationships have suffered.
You know, I give you a joke because when I was getting married, and I'm going to ask Reverend, Pastor Daly, is it Daly? Dwayne in a second. But I remember when I went to my first counseling session, and we had three, only three, and they were very short when I was getting married. And the only thing I can remember, and this, I'm not trying to be funny, I heard the pastor say to me, don't be a ram goat. So I'm thinking, wait a minute.
What does that mean?
No, I'm pretty much a virgin here at this point, right? So don't be a ram goat. I'm like, ram goat? I'm like, what are you talking? I'm thinking, oh, okay, I guess I won't be a ram goat. I mean, whatever that means. But to talk about really preparing and being a counselor. Now, as a pastor, how would you speak to that, Pastor Daly? You can weigh in here. What have you found within your church, your church body, is the thing that seemed to be the most, I would say, crippling or shunned issue as far as a healthy sex life in a marriage?
Good evening, everyone. Let me say evening to
Lady. Hi, Pastor Daly. I feel so happy to see you.
Oh Jesus.
I just got excited.
And then to my very good friend, Reverend Dunbar, it's good to see you. We were together yesterday. As it relates to, and thanks, Sister Marsha, for the link, right? As it relates to knowledge, I want to back up with what Professor Dunbar is saying. I believe that we have a major problem within our marriages because of lack of knowledge. Mm. And the church, for me, don't expound enough on that. And as it relates to, talking sex, it has become one of the most distinct things because we try to put it somewhere else, if that's a better word. And I'm sure Pastor Dunbar can
push it aside, that. Push it aside.
We try to. I remember one time when I was bringing Reverend Dunbar to one of my retreats, and I had pastors tell me, "Oh, how do you talk about the sex?" I said, "Well, that is one of the most major components in the marriage. So if it's not there, it is going to create trouble abroad." So it is lack of knowledge. Lack of knowledge is one of the major things as it relates to marriage.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Yeah.
Yes, very good. Dr. Dunbar, what was the real the story behind the book? So you have all of this experience now coming into Christendom. Was it what propelled you into writing this book? I'm sure just the name of the book raised some eyebrows, I'm sure.
The name and the content. The book is
the name and the content.
Yes, the book is intentionally erotic. Intentionally erotic. First two chapters, of course, are a theological treatise. And the book itself, the foreword was written by one of the Caribbean's leading apologists, Reverend Dr. Clinton Chisholm. Because I wanted to ensure for the Christian fraternity who shies away from the matter of sex that the book was biblically sound and theologically balanced, right? And just to say to us, because the deficit was in the church, right? And because the deficit was in the church, if you're going to try to correct the church, about what the church is not doing, then you had better come from the Bible, right? Otherwise, you're going to be demonized. And I was demonized, you know, right, for having written the book. So, yes, the story behind the book is the deficit that we had, that I found that we had when I came to national attention after I wrote my final paper for my first degree. And one of Jamaica's leading journalists at the time, now deceased, the late Ian Boyne, he got in touch with the theological seminary because he wanted a clergy person to speak to the matter.
Okay.
And he was pointed in my direction directly, instantly, as he called the seminary, because I was the person, you know, who had gone there to stir up something. And so he was pointed in my direction. And so I came to national attention on television. Before that, I was serving, though, on a family-oriented ministry, Family Life Ministries, on radio. But it wasn't primarily talk about sex. But when I came to national attention, then, as we would state here, all hell broke loose in Jamaica.
Wow.
Yes, because many things were being said. My church's national office was being called. People were saying, I'm not a Christian. I was demonized. So many things were happening. But it never daunted me because, you know, when you know purpose and you know that you're being guided by God, I continued. So I went out to speak. I continued to speak on the matters. I was invited in different church circles. And that was long before the book was written. That was from 2004. Yes. The book was actually written and published in 2015.
Yes.
Right. So it was going around to the different churches and then going into corporate organizations. And you realize it's a cultural thing. It's not just the church, the entire culture. Yes. And then after that national debut, then being called from different platforms internationally. And then this now helped me to realize that I needed to do a publication so that the world at large could have something, especially from our context, because there were many books from the North American context.
Yeah. Right?
That I suppose adequately with the matter for them, but not for us. Not having it from our context, and especially from a clergy person. The challenge, I think, was that they could not see sex and the church coexisting.
Mm.
So I think that was the problem. But the church and sex has to coexist because we are created as sexual beings.
Yes.
We were given the theology of sex is that when God created us, he said it was very good. When he created everything else, it was good. But when he created us as sensual, sexual, social human beings, he said it was very good.
Very good.
And he created us with all our body parts to include our erogenous zones. So the clitoris and the V-spot and the G-spot and the P-spot, all of those were created by God, right? Mm-hmm. So you cannot separate yourself from who you are. You understand your identity in Christ. You're a very sexual person. What needed to be taught was how married persons can maximize their sexual potential in pleasing each other, and how we teach single persons to admire, appreciate their sexuality, but to learn to put their bodies under control, to exercise self-control, which is a fruit of the spirit, to exercise self-control and wait until God brings them, if he does, into the ministry of marriage.
Yes, for those who are listening, for those who are listening right now, on website, click on the left top corner of your screen. If you're listening on the website, if you're watching on the website, you click on your left, the left corner of screen. Yes, continue, doctor.
Right. So that, I believe, is where the impetus to put the book in print came from. And then, I'm telling you, he actually downloaded it. I took 4 days and wrote this book.
Because
the materials were already, in all my publications, I've written 3 that I've published, and all of them have taken a week, because usually the material is downloaded in me, and then I just need a little quiet time just to put it on the paper. And so I took 4 days, 4 to 5 days, and wrote this. And when I finished writing it, and I came back from where I'd gone, because I went to a secluded place, I went to a hotel to just get the secluded time to write. And when I came back from there and was about to send it off to the publisher, the culture started creeping in on me. And I started to post not. I should really publish this book.
Doctor.
My socialization in Christendom started to take a hold of.
Dr. Dunbar, I'm going to continue, but you said something a while ago that struck a chord. And there's a song that you got to hear. It might be a part of it, but it's like maybe it was destiny. This is amazing.
They knew each other parts of their body. God, we thank you for our bodies. We thank you that we are sexual beings. We thank you that we are able to make love.
Yeah, you heard it. Yes, I heard it. You heard it. We heard it. So
I heard it, and I've never heard that song before. And I think Evangelist Daly can sing the male version to that.
There you go.
I would love to hear the remix to that. Oh my God. That's gonna be a really
the male mixer. Yes. I'm done. I'm game.
I've never heard it before, but that says it. Very, very well, because we should not.
Yes.
I don't think that we should be ashamed to talk about something that God was never ashamed to create.
Yes. You know, when I was younger, Doctor, when I was younger in church, a young man, 9, 10, 11, 12, I used to wonder how these other kids came about in the church. Like, where did we come from? Because I didn't see holding hands. I didn't see any kind of passion, any kind of love, or any kind of. It was like, man, I mean, what happened? I mean, come on here. So I like what you're doing, Doctor. It is so well needed. My goodness. Wow.
We refrain from, when I say to the church that we need to put sex education on the Bible study curriculum, in the Sunday school curriculum, you know, I tend to get that look. But the truth is, if the first three agents of socialization is the home, the church, and the school, how is it that sex education has bypassed the church and is in the school? When the church is supposed to be the second agent of socialization.
Wow.
So we have something wrong. Something has gone wrong, you know? And so I think we need to correct. And I'm happy it is being corrected a bit at a time. I am not the only person. I am certainly, I am the catalyst in Jamaica you know, talking about sex. But I was talking about families before that and marriage. And it is only fitting that if I'm purporting family and marriage, if I'm for the restoration, if I'm for the building up and the keeping healthy of marriage and family, then I cannot leave sex out of the equation, because I can't talk about marriage and family without talking about sex.
I have two questions for you from the viewers. Want to say, the first time I came in contact with your material, Doc, I was a young adult. And they had a conference at my church. And I remember the reaction from the married couples in the church. I was single at the time. I wasn't married yet. And I was like, okay. So if you're behaving like this, so how am I to behave when I get married? Which leads me to the questions. The first question says, what should we really know about sex before we get married?
Okay.
Everything that can be taught theoretically. Everything that can be taught theoretically, you should know. Again, people suffer because of lack of knowledge. So when I'm conducting premarital counseling, now my premarital counseling is said to be very intense in Jamaica. It's very intense. I actually have a course that I teach on premarital counseling. And within my premarital counseling session, I have 12 sessions. And I spend two of those sessions on sex and sexuality. So I teach a couple intending to get married about the needs for each other, the erogenous zones that each other will have, the desires that you are supposed to have. I teach them about sexual positions. And so I take them through the entire gamut of everything that is good and godly, I help him to understand the Hebrew 13:4 concept that the marriage is honorable and the bed, and the word bed is really speaking to the sexual union, which is not, it is undefiled.
Not the physical space.
Right. That the things that God would prohibit are not the things that we think. And so the right. only thing that I have seen that has been prohibited scripturally between mm-hmm. a couple is would be anal sex, right? So I teach them whatever it is that is consensual between you both apart from, that it will not defile your marriage. So I teach them everything that they need to know. I cannot leave anything to chance because I have I've seen couples right now in this present day and age being married, and after mm-hmm. 4 years, they have not consummated their marriage. After two years, I'm having I have been counseling right now.
Wow.
After 2 years,
incredible.
They have not consummated their marriage.
You became a doctor.
Understand?
Wow. Here's another question for you. This is from another viewer listener who is chiming in. As a married woman, married to a pastor, mm-hmm. I used the F word in bed and my husband rebuked me. Mm-hmm. Did I say something wrong? We are now divorced. But it had a bad impact on me. I was complimenting my husband. Mm-hmm. So that was her
complimenting her husband in a language that she was comfortable with based on her socialization mm-hmm. and culture, because the same word can be used in Africa and makes no difference to anybody. You understand? Because it is what you understand it to mean here. You understand? So culture and context has bearing. For me, I cannot tell you what is wrong in your bedroom in terms of the words that you use, because that has to be of a mutual consent between yourself and your spouse. Her husband would have been socialized that word in particular is incorrect, blasphemous, indecent, and all of those other things.
So, because
of that context, which is why he would be uncomfortable. But I have known unsaved persons who, because of their own socialization, who are also uncomfortable with the usage of this kind of language. We would commonly call them bedroom language.
So, Dr. Bird, you could safely say that it's important to have the conversations before even these things. Because I realize that. You see, the world too often set the standard in music, mm-hmm. in learning,
everything,
in discipline,
everything,
and in sex. So you find that too many times the Christian person or someone who might have gotten saved, they take too much of the world, the standard, and try to impose that into their marriage. I mean, one of the biggest things, they said every man's battle, you know, they had a thing over here that they had a real big movement is porn, pornography. It's a really big thing in our culture. And so the culture has become so performance driven. You know, if you can't do it, get Viagra, get a blue pill, get extends and all these different things to kind of come into the midst. And I think sometimes it corrupts and it takes away from the beauty of the two souls in love, loving God and loving each other the right way and making that thing become an amazing experience. So how would you speak to the fact that people take the worldly thing and bring it into the marriage? How would you speak to that aspect of it?
Well, I don't know. I would have to contextualize you saying the worldly things. Because the first thing I've thought to do in this book mm-hmm. is to help persons to understand that God is the person who conceptualized sex. It is not the world.
Sex did
not come about as a result of HBO and the Playboy magazine.
Mm-hmm.
God, holy God, who lives in heaven, purity reigns, is the one who conceptualize sex.
Like that.
And so it is our bad for allowing the world to take sex and mess it up. Anything mm-hmm. that God has created can be perverted.
There you go.
You understand? But sex in itself was not a bad thing. So that is where also, I'd have to answer this way, because persons who are now Christians believe that there are certain positions that are worldly and not Christian, and there are no positions that are worldly.
Like the Kama Sutra?
There are
like
no sexual positions that are worldly. Yeah. You understand? Yes. There's no worldly sex position and Christian sex position.
Right.
That's stupidity.
Right? So Doc,
we need to then understand. But you're talking about, when you talk about taking what allowing the world to set standards, they have set some standards.
Yes.
You know, they have set some standards, and we have inculcated some of the standards, you know, with many other things. You know, and the use of what we call in Jamaica indecent language, because you have to remember that in another culture it is not. Right? But what we classify in Jamaica as the indecent language may not be something that is good for a Christian marriage if the persons are not socialized to embrace that.
Right. So back to your book. We are talking about bedroom branding, and last week we dived into your book a little bit, and you know, we talked about, you know, the kitten brand and all of those brands that you have written. How important do you think bedroom brand is? The need to have a brand.
Every woman has a brand. You are created with a brand.
Whether they know it or not.
That's whether you know it or not. So it is for you to know who you are. So don't try to be a Carla Dunbar. You understand? I have my own brand. We are all individuals. We are created in the image and likeness of God. You have to know your identity. So you might be, like I said, a kidneyish. You might be sporty. You might be faulty. It is who you are, and you bring that brand with you in the bedroom. So you are not a person who is kidney, and then you're going to the bedroom to try to be sporty because somebody wants to be. Wear your brand and wear it well, because your brand is what attracted your spouse to you in the first place, right? True. So if you try to take on somebody else's brand, you might not wear it very well, and it might not work for you. Yeah, and you may become uncomfortable with it too. So who you are, you can be sultry and sexy, you can be shy, and you can be shy sexy, you know. So it depends on you knowing who you are, and then be confident in who you are as a female, you know, or even a male, because you have males who are said to be shy. It doesn't stop you from wearing that brand with you. You classify your brand, you wear your brand, and you wear it well in your bedroom. But it's important that you know it, because one of the challenges that we have is that women, a lot of the times, we don't know who we are. And so we are being something else, or we're trying to be what somebody said that we are supposed to be. And we end up losing our spouses and losing the fire that's supposed to be in our marriages, and losing out on something that could be beautiful and glorifying God in it, because we are trying to be who somebody said we should be when we should be who we are.
Hold on, Keith.
Just give me a minute. So just to continue with that, how do you manage the imbalance? Like, for example, there is a woman with a brand that is bold and fiery, and her sex drive is up there, as opposed to a man who doesn't have that kind of a drive.
What happened there?
Most men have the drive, because men do not lose desire. Men lose ability. Very few times a man will lose desire. Something is going on when a man loses desire. He either has gone into pre-retirement, job loss, money factors. Because men really don't lose desire unless it is impacted by something else. Women are the one who will lose desire.
But
still have the ability, because we have the capacity for sex. We have a vaginal cavity, so we have the capacity, but not the necessity. Right.
And so I love that.
But what you can have is two different personalities, and two different personalities. I'm going to be speaking to strength-based marriages tomorrow night for the Eastwood Power New Testament in Jamaica. What you have is two different personalities. So you have, like you said, a very bold female who is confident in what she brings to the table. And she expresses that in the bedroom, and she may have a partner who is on the shyer side, the timid and more passive side. But they can complement each other, because your differences are supposed to complement your relationship and not complicate it. But it is that you should be able to talk about your preferences and your expectations, you know. Awesome. And I think that if you were being real with each other in your courting stages, then your partner would have seen you. And so when you come out sexually in the bedroom, in that boldness, your partner yes. would have already seen that boldness in other aspects of your life, because you okay. really can't hide who you are for very long.
True.
Got you. The
natural you is going to come out.
That's so true. That's what the doctor. But let me ask this question here. Let me throw this one at Pastor Daly. Because a lot of pastors, they're like jack of all trades. You know, they teach, they drive the bus, they drive the car, they open the door, they sweep the church, they preach, they pray, they fasting. The same pastor doing everything. But anyway, Pastor, do you find that when you have maybe couples or come to you for guidance and for, you know, for support and advice, do you find that when they touch certain topics, like maybe a sexual issue, maybe it could be dysfunction, could be maybe too much going on or too little going on or nothing going on, do you find yourself wanting to refer them to someone, in this case, like a Dr. Dumber, or call it Dumber, or you find you try to advise them yourself? Or how do you approach that aspect of it? Because it's real.
Lady Misty and Reverend Dunbar knows me very well.
Yes, we do.
They know me. I'm very straightforward. I don't try to wear Dr. Dunbar's shoes one bit. So we go way back. So I literally tell people, go yes. to Reverend Dunbar, call Carla. That's how we talk, call Carla. Because
yes.
Right.
Yes.
I personally, I don't want to give instructions from my mind and then I mess you up later on. Wow. And it goes back to the lack of knowledge. So I try. As I heard Dr. Dunbar say about in the dating stages, I do mentorship for those who don't know. And one of the things I tell my young people in dating is, don't hide you. Be transparent. So yes. if you hurt, let your spouse know you hurt. Because if you try to hide it, that's why a lot of people are disappointed in marriage, because they have hid under this facade for so long that they don't really know what it is. And then Carla will probably tell you that they come out to say, yo, me never married a man, yeah? Because you hid that all along. Because you want to pretend, you want to come. There's a level of pretending going on and you want to come. Oh, you're head over heels, as we'd say. And when reality hits you, you want to back out of this marriage and it's already messed up.
So gone. Wow.
I go ahead and I send them, I bring them to, I refer them to Reverend Dunbar a lot.
Very good, very good. Thank you so much, Pastor. So this segment here, we're about to wrap it up real, real soon. Lady Misty, thank you, God, for Dr. Dunbar. I mean, really refreshing. I'm like, I feel like a new man in my red shirt tonight. I want to get married soon so I can behave myself. I think this is a great show. I'm loving Doc. I'll tell you, I just love your spirit. I love the energy. I love the realness. And of course, the man of God is here with us tonight. I love it. So how can we find you? I mean, where can we find you, Doctor? I'm sure we're going to be following phone calls.
I'm on all social media platforms. Uh-huh. All social media platforms. Reverend Ms. Carla Dunbar Ministries. I am on Instagram, Carla Dunbar Ministries. I am on Facebook, Carla Dunbar Ministries. I'm on Twitter.
All right.
And you can email me at carladunbarministries@gmail.com. Mm-hmm. And my local numbers here is 876-782-7646. That's 876-782-7646 or 876-323-9209.
Yes.
And awesome. I'm on all platforms. Carla Dunbar Ministries. Carla with a C.
Yes.
Carla Dunbar Ministries at Gmail. Carla Dunbar Ministries on IG. Carla Dunbar Ministries on Facebook.
Yeah.
So you can find me.
And I assure you, we're going to advertise all those that you mentioned just now. We're going to do everything we can to even give you more exposure. I love it.
So
by the way, we're in 64 countries. So, and growing. So, your name is Dubai, Germany, everywhere. So, they're hearing you, Doctor. So, I'm sure we're going to be helping some folks tonight with this amazing open consciousness, open conversation here. Yes.
Most grateful. It needs to be said, we cannot fail to teach what God has called us to teach. And we cannot allow the world, the secular world, to teach what the church is meant to teach. Like, you can't fix something that God was meant to fix. And so we need to do what we need. We need to do our part. And I'm doing my part in helping to give the people knowledge and to sustain marriages. And like Carlton said, Evangelist Daly, or Pastor Daly, like he said, you know, God has raised us up with specialized ministry, and we need to use it for the benefit of the body of Christ and for the benefit of the world if they will listen to us. And sex is no less of a subject that needs to be taught in the church in its right context.
Amazing. All right. Amazing. Thank you, All right, doctor.
Thank you, doctor. Welcome back. Welcome back. You are listening to You Me Radio. Remember, guys, get the app You Me Radio, that's one word, on Google and Apple Play stores. I am Lady Misty.
And this is DJ KTE, y'all. And remember, the app is one word. It's U M E R A D I O. Dr. Candace, oh my goodness, I'm glad to have you back. It's been 2 weeks now? We had a good start about a couple of weeks ago, and things happen, you know, that's the whole life works. Things do happen, but we're here again with the infamous Dr. Candace. And thank you, God, for staying with us. It's now time for our life moments. And our special guest here is Dr. Candace Drummond, founder of Momscapades. Can't wait to hear about that. Avid Intellectual Inc. Featured on Fox, NBC, y'all, ABC. Oh, I'm so proud of her. And YahooAx.com. I am just excited to have you here.
So am I. And we're happy to have her back.
Yes, yes, yes. So how was your day? How are we feeling?
Hopefully my internet will cooperate this time.
So far, so good. you're as clear as crystal so far. Awesome. So in this segment here, it's a segment that basically is important as it relates to relationships we have with ourselves. In this segment, our guest shares with us a special life moment. I'm sure you have many of those, but you can share some more with us that we hope will inspire you, the listeners, mm-hmm. and even us here who are right connected with you. So welcome. And the floor is yours.
Thank you. Like I said, thank you for having me back. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to speak and be in front of your audience. I really appreciate it.
You're so welcome. You're so welcome. Yes. So doctor, you know, as I looked and at your creation, and I was intrigued by it. I know I had a little bit of insight on it because we spoke. So you gave me a little bit of touch on it and how effective it was for you and others who have used your this system here to help to navigate themselves with a young child. You know, not having the craziness that I know and I've seen, and you know, we have a nice smooth mom child or parent child cohesiveness in having a healthy behaviors when we're out, whether we in the house or whether we on the business or whether we need time to be quiet. So speak to us on that aspect of it, how you came up with the concept and what's your vision behind it?
For Momscapades, right?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, so I am a single mom. I have a 4-year-old, and I actually started my first company, Avid Intellectual, when she was just about 1 year old. What I didn't realize is how much it would change my travel life. The reason that I started Momscapades initially was because when I traveled with my daughter, there wasn't really anything prepared or created for single moms. So even the family resorts or things like that, they weren't really catering to, like I said, my demographic, the single mom that could also afford to go on vacation. And so initially when I started Momscapades, it was a travel company that we were gonna help single moms be able to curate vacation packages that included childcare, which was one of those things that a lot of times were overlooked in vacation package planning. Because like I said, when you're planning a family vacation, it's very different from planning a vacation for a single mom. And right. Initially that was the plan, but as you know, with COVID making so many changes to our lives, what happened was it evolved into more of a mom assistance brand. And so I've started with webinars that first they help moms create me time, create time for themselves within this quarantine environment, within, you know, homeschooling and working from home, still finding a way to create and carve out me time. I have actually assisted with teaching sleep training for parents for infants and toddlers who have crazy sleep schedules that have even been further thrown out of whack because of, you know, no school or less schedules or all of those sorts of things. And so I've started working on sleep training with parents. And I've also started working on just a small group or small handful of serious behavior problems, teenagers mostly, rebellious teens that parents are having trouble controlling their behavior or correcting their behavior.
Wow.
That's good. Awesome. You know, Doc, I hear you talking about, you know, COVID, and your business has blossomed into something really, really positive.
Yeah.
So, you know, this is my question. You know, what are the digital opportunities now? You know, we are in a digital age right now. So what are the digital opportunities for families and for family empowerment right now?
Well, there are quite a few. The beauty of and I hate to say it that way, but the beauty of coronavirus is really having this plethora of free knowledge available to people that wasn't available before. The over the last 3 months, I've probably taken more than 5 courses totally for free that really, really help. There is a family branding tool that's not mine, but it's a free family branding tool that really helps you to create what you want your family to stand for. You create a family brand, family value statement, family mission statement. Okay. You even create a family crest, you know, so that really builds what it is that you want your family to be and to stand for. But then as far as what my company has really been able to offer families during this time, like I said, I've really been able to offer the parents of smaller children, like I said, reclaiming some of their time. I have really been able to assist families in changing the dynamic that creates, you know, this rebellion or, you know, the acting out behaviors, especially from being isolated or reduced, you know, activities.
Wow. Dr. Candace.
It's so...
Sorry, Lady Misty. You go ahead.
Go ahead, DJ.
Yeah.
Go ahead, DJ.
So the question I want to ask, Doctor, and that's a great point you made a while ago. But how can we network as a Black community to lift each other up? How, what are some other ways that you, because I know you mentioned about this brand, it's a brand, family brand. You mentioned about
family branding.
Yeah, family branding. So how, what are ways that we can get into this particular program? How do we connect and begin this process here? For those of us who don't know about it.
So I can give you the link for the family branding. I have that. Like I said, it's not my program, but it is free online. And I can give you the link as soon as, you know, we're done here. I just don't have it with me. But as far as connecting with me for, like I said, any of the family services that I offer, I have groups that will begin. They're rolling, rolling start dates. The next start date is going to be August 17th.
Nice.
I have groups that are going to be twice per day. They are going to be at noon Eastern time and at 8 p.m. No, sorry, 7 p.m. Eastern time. So at noon Eastern time and 7 p.m. Eastern time, Monday through Friday. Anyone who's interested in either of my groups, whether it's the one for the smaller children or the ones for rebellious teens, either one of those can contact me at Avid Intellectual on Facebook. And so both of them are facebook.com/AvidIntellectual.
Dr. Candice, last time we spoke, I heard you mention something about something in Jamaica, and you were looking at some things there. So how are you find that you're taking some of these concepts here and you bring it there as well? Is that what you're having this this diaspora going on?
So I'm actually in Jamaica now. I got to the island about 2 weeks ago, and in the process of working with some people from the Ministry of Health, just trying to consult with them on what some of their needs may be for the island and for right now for the Southeast region. I'm still working with them to kind of find out, well, like I said, what some of their needs are and how I can help them, I guess, build a nation or island-wide program that's better suited for mental health services. I was going to start therapy groups, counseling groups for individuals. However, since I am now connected with the ministry, I am going to be trying to do that on a much larger scale.
That is amazing. I love it. I love it. Wow. Wow.
I have a question for you, Doc. Do you have any financial recovery programs for families? Or is it in the pipeline? Or
so the problem with financial recovery, at least for a lot of folks, is, at least I know on the island of Jamaica, there's not a lot of like government assistance or stimulus, as you would speak. And so as
don't
a
have
result,
any here.
There's nothing. And so as a result, what I've seen is a diversification is what's really happening and what's really going to be necessary for people to survive and recover. Mm-hmm. What used to work just doesn't work. If that's really all that, you know, like I say, taking advantage of free training programs. Google right now is offering several free training programs.
Okay.
Another website I know called Cybrary. That's Cybrary, Cybrary, is also offering a lot of free trainings in IT, any kind of IT services. They're offering quite a few. So I would encourage family members to get certified in whatever they can. And I know as well on the island that internet is an issue, but I know that Digicel has an educational plan that's $500 that is able to run one or two of these courses, you know, so you can, you know, get that on your phone, you know, run, like I said, get this certification and now be able to earn income online, because that is the new way. I mean, I understand that, you know, the old way is just, it's just not sustainable at this time. And so we've really, especially on the island, we've got to find ways to earn income internationally. Websites like Upwork.com, Fiverr.com, those allow for freelance work. I recommend that if you have any computer knowledge, it doesn't matter if you know how to post on eBay.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Go on and sign yourself up as a freelancer on Upwork. There is someone out there who needs someone to post on eBay, and they will pay you for it, you know? And so I encourage, like I say, and you can do these things from your phone. So again, you know, home internet isn't necessary right off bat. You can start with a small 7-day plan, something like that, as you earn some income, and sites like Upwork, they pay every single week.
Yes. And you know, Dr. Candice, I love what you're saying. For those of you who may not know, one of our sponsors is Yumi Digital Inc. .com. If you go there, you know, we have programs. We have a program called 12 month success plan. And, you know, we get people into the mindset. You know, we train the mind and how to think brand, how to think entrepreneurship, and how to understand that there's a shifting going on in the world now. And you want to actually be ahead of it, not behind it. And I told folks and that when I first saw you online, what really caught my attention that was so amazing was how giving you were. You were just sharing, like you were spelling it out, like this is what it is, this is where you go. And you really find it. You know, people tend to kind of hold things back, but I love the fact that you shared what you did. And that's why I knew I had to have you, on our segment.
I think even more so here, like I say, in Jamaica, it's really important to diversify and try to step out of the comfort zone, because there's not a lot of infrastructure here on the island to support, like I said, this financial recovery. And so you really gotta kind of step out of where you are.
Yes. And you know, that's one of the goals of the vision of Yumi Radio. You know, we want to reach 1 million lives, but we want to connect the two worlds, so to speak, because many people leave their countries to come here to earn. But if you find the right medium, the right way, you can stay right where you are and earn. You know, you don't have to come here in the cold and the snow and the, oh my God, and wait 5 months for a job and trying to head back because your visa is going to run out. And like, oh my God, I didn't get a job. And you only got one month of work. You're kind of disappointed. We can stay wherever you are, build a brand, build a business. And that's what we're all about. Connect and make it happen. I think we have someone who have pioneered this. And she told me in 2009-10, when she mentioned these things, she was laughed at. Like, you know, you gotta be kidding me. She talked about apps and digital world and thought she was nuts. And now here we are. And of course, you know, COVID has sped it up a lot faster. So we are here, doctor, and you're so right. You're so right about that. How we have to really.
Yeah, I did my dissertation 4 years ago when I was getting ready to graduate with my doctorate. I did my dissertation on teletherapy, which at the time was very rarely used. I think it had a 2% usage rate in mental health.
My goodness.
And that was in 2016. Today, in 2020, we're up to a 50% usage, from 2% to 50%.
Remarkable.
That's awesome. So awesome.
To be a visionary, this is really a part
that's
of
right.
it. To see ahead and act. Not only see, but act. And that's what you're doing, doctor. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Well, I could see that the change was being made on the island. You know, like I had spoken with people, colleagues, when I was in Florida who were from Jamaica, you know, other immigrants who had come for school or for work, as you said, and yes. They were connected with the ministry and trying to create change in behavioral health and in mental health, you know, in Jamaica. And I felt like it would be really beneficial if I could be here.
Awesome. So far, I tell you, I could have you for another hour, Doctor. Just keep going. But we're close to wrapping things up here. And just want to, again, just tell our audience where we can find you, how we can support you. And we will be glad to assist you that way.
Yeah, the best way to reach me is always on Facebook. Facebook is either my personal profile, you find Dr. Drummond Psyd, that's Dr. period Drummond Psyd. And then also Facebook, Avid Intellectual Inc. Both of those are the best ways to reach me. Those come right to my fingertips as soon as anyone reaches out.
Very nice.
All right.
This segment here, we have today's tips, correct, Lady Misty?
Yes, we do.
All right, now hit me with that, Lady Misty.
So, the tip for today: a great relationship is about two things. First, appreciating the similarities, and second, accepting the differences. So that's what relationship is about.
Any comment, Dr. Drummond, on that one? Do you want to leave a little comment on that one? Just kind of a little expand a little bit on that one.
Oh no, that is so poignant. It's perfect.
Oh yes. God, that's great. Well, folks, you listen to UMU Radio. I am DJ KTE.
And I am Lady Misty.
Guys, thanks for listening. Those on YouTube, those are listening on the radio, those on Podbeams and all the different networks. We're talking about Pandora. We're talking about the whole nine yard here, guys. iTunes, TuneIn, TuneU, and all of those great partners.
We want to shout out all those who joined us online via YouTube Live. We want to say thank you for joining us tonight. We want to say a big shout out and a big thank you to our producer. We want to say thank you to DJ Marsha J, DJ Kelly, Delrose, all the persons who made tonight possible. Thank you so much to our guests that came through, Dr. Dunbar that came through, Pastor Daly that came in and chimed in. Uh-huh. We want to say thank you so much. Thanks for those who sent in their comments. We appreciate you. Thank you for keeping our company tonight. Mm-hmm.
And of course, Dr. Candice, I mean, she was also awesome tonight. And yes, guys, this is WUMEDB New York, live and direct for y'all. So again, thank you all for chiming in. And we look forward in seeing you on the next segment next Monday at 9. Be here or be square.
Let's talk.
Relationships on UMEDB Radio.
So what are we talking about?
Marriage, dating, parenting, business,
and love, emotions, sex.
It's a conversation with me, Lady Misty,
and DJ KTE,
on everything from hot topics to taboos.
Join us Mondays at 9 p.m. live on UME Radio.
Follow us at Let's Talk Relationship Show on Facebook or on UME Radio on Instagram. Let's talk relationships. Arguments for the grown.
Get the UME Radio app to listen wherever you are. That is UME Radio, one word.